Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After receiving a tie vote at Planning Committee, a 40-room development at 92 Napier Road came before Council with no recommendation, leaving Council to debate the matter at their meeting on Tuesday, August 12th. The proposal, brought forward by Amber Peak Developments, calls for the construction of four 10-bedroom buildings at 92 Napier Road, a development that would mostly be marketed towards students. To make this possible, Amber Peak is seeking both an official plan amendment and a zoning bylaw amendment to rezone the site from general open space to urban residential space. The suggestion triggered a strong community response. Many residents spoke at last month's planning committee meeting, voicing opposition to the project. A petition opposing the development garnered 332 signatures. Opponents argued that allowing high-density student housing in the quiet, family-oriented neighborhood could lead to increased noise, heavier traffic, and contribute to existing residents relocating, many of whom work in local businesses, the nearby hospital, and educational institutions. Councillor Vincent Shinani, who sits on Planning Committee, described the meeting.
At Planning Committee, it was divisive in a way. For me, rezoning from open space to anything else, it would have to be a really good reason. It had to be a really good benefit to the community. And I don't think that this is it. Living where I live, you see like what happens with this type of housing, moving further and further west. It just drives everyone away, and then it becomes like families move away, there's schools nearby. It just totally changes the character of the neighborhood. And I think that moving forward, having spoken to a lot of the community members, there's a lot more support in density near the university versus moving further and further west.
For councillors like Shinani, who are opposed, the core concern was that the development would introduce student housing into one of the last streets in the area that is not student-focused. The proposal's potential rent, estimated at around $1,000 per bedroom, also heightened concerns. Councillor Connie Glenn summarized these fears before council.
So let's be honest about what we're turning this into, and we are putting this, we're making this into a student ghetto. It's one of the last pockets where there's a family, where there's family-oriented housing. People walk their kids to school. Neighbors know each other's names. It's a community built on long-term relationships. I'm certainly not anti-student, as everyone I think is aware, but it brings a different rhythm to the area. It's late-night turnover, noise complaints, short-term occupancy. It's a dynamic that's already saturating so much of the district. And so if we want families to live downtown, work downtown, then we need to make sure that we're providing space for them. And it's not about blaming students. It's also about providing balance. And it's not good for students either. Students are a vital part of our city, and they contribute a lot to it. But they can't afford what's being offered for the most part. And we heard at Planning Committee that these units, these bedrooms, I should say, would be $1,000 a piece. There'll be 40 students minimum here. That's $40,000 coming out of this. That's about profit. Now, I'm not above making a profit. I own a business. But we need a better vision for our city, and this isn't it. Students need safe, affordable housing, and they don't need to be in overpriced apartments in neighborhoods where they're going to have tensions with the permanent residents that are there.
Another key consideration for councillors was the risk of appeal to the Ontario Land Tribunal if the proposal was rejected. Mayor Patterson acknowledged the likelihood that the city would lose such an appeal.
I've never said this before, but I'll just say we have a 100% chance of losing at the OLT. Not even like a 95% chance, a 100% chance of losing. And quite frankly, I think the way that would look, I think is terrible.
Councillor Gary Osteroff, who was against the development, noted the difficult position this potential outcome puts council in.
We're handcuffed. I don't know. I don't think we should be spending the money to fight it. We know we're going to lose it. And so, you know, it's us to deal with the province. So I'm just going to, I don't know. I'm speechless.
Both Mayor Patterson and Councillor Ryan Boehm expressed confusion at the intensity of the opposition, noting that new housing is a top city priority.
I'm a bit stunned, actually, by the discussion around the table tonight. We've put policies in place. We have a development application that meets those policies. And now we would go to the OLT and argue against the very policies that we put in place for the housing. I appreciate where the community is coming from. I don't want to minimize that in any way. Obviously, you know, we're trying to find a compromise, leave some green space there, allow some sustainability for the Lawn Bowling Club to continue. But quite frankly, we've also tried to push towards more integrated neighborhoods and not put all of the student housing, lump it in one area of the city as well. So I'm a bit exasperated, to be honest, by the discussion around the table. But obviously, I would encourage council to be consistent with the direction that we've taken as a council up until now, which is to say housing is a priority. All housing matters.
Let's no longer be the roadblock to getting more housing built. Because if in the end, this does, for whatever reason, end up the specter of the OLT there, we will lose. But all we've done then is increase the costs, spent a bunch more money, and wasted a lot of effort, and delayed the incoming supply of housing units that we so badly need. And to be honest, we're asking for. It's like we're our own worst enemy at times. We ask for something, somebody offers it, and then we go, well, yeah, no, but not really like that. We want something different here. And if we do that for every housing development, somebody needs to explain to me why we even have an official plan.
Ultimately, council voted 7-6 against approving the required official plan and zoning bylaw amendments, halting the development for the time being. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is part 10 of our ongoing OUA football season preview. Today, we're looking at the Wilfrid Laurier Golden Hawks. The Laurier Golden Hawks rode their trailblazing quarterback to an incredible 8-0 conference record in 2024. Taylor Elgersma and wide receiver Ethan Jordan helped carry Laurier to the Vanier Cup, where they came up agonizingly short against the Laval Rouge Or. With both Jordan in the CFL and Elgersma in the NFL, moving on to greener pastures, Laurier will need their next men up to show up and show out in 2025. I do think they have the pieces necessary to avoid a total title hangover, but I don't know if they'll reach the staggering highs they did in 2024. Look for running back Tayshawn Jackson to have another stellar all-purpose season as both a backfield ball carrier and a special teams menace. I think wide receiver Raiden Thorne will step up to become Laurier's top target, but for the first time in 4 years, their question mark is at quarterback. Who will step up and take the baton from the recently departed Elgersma? If they get another gem under center, this team could easily win 6 or 7 games. If their quarterback regresses to the mean, I think 5 wins is a realistic expectation. I think Laurier loses to this year's Big Three of Queens, Western, and Guelph, but I think they'll clean up against Windsor, the Ottawa teams, Toronto, and Waterloo. I think they slot nicely into the 4 spot as the best of the rest in the OUA this season. That's a wrap for today's sports report, but do tune in on Friday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. for a special half-hour season preview focusing on your Queens Gaels ahead of their Saturday home game against the Western Mustangs.
I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your arts and culture updates for Kingston and the area. All summer long, downtown Kingston has been running Movies in the Square on Thursday evenings. They've played a range of films from Little Women to Talladega Nights, and now, as we near the summer's end, there are just 2 more screenings. Tomorrow night, Thursday, August 21st, you can see Inside Out 2 starting at dusk in Springer Market Square. And the final movie in the square for the 2025 season will be The Wild Robot on Thursday, August 28th. In other arts news, this weekend, the Kingston Blues Society tribute to the Limestone City Blues Festival is running for its 2nd year, with over 20 participating blues bands and performers. From Thursday, August 21st to Saturday, August 23rd, you can catch performances at the RCHA, Confederation Park, and Tiernan Oak. There are a mix of ticketed and free shows thanks to the Downtown Kingston Business Improvement Area. To name just a few, you can catch Hellhound Trail Blues Band, Soulfire, Sarah Sokol, Big Mo and the Blues Mission, Doghouse Kings, and many more. To see the full Kingston Blues Society Tribute Weekend schedule and to find ticket information, head to kingstonbluessociety.ca. And the final update for the day is about the Robert Bruce Memorial Parking Garage Public Art Project. Earlier this summer, artists from Kingston and the surrounding area were invited to participate in a two-stage open call to develop artwork for the exterior of the Robert Bruce Memorial Parking Garage. The site for the artwork faces onto Bagot Street, a busy streetscape, and the downtown transfer point for Kingston Transit. Four Kingston-based artists were shortlisted by the selection panel and were invited to submit a detailed public art proposal for the site. These proposals were then shared with the public, who had the opportunity to provide feedback and opinions on which should be chosen. After reviewing public feedback, the selection panel chose Abby Gowland's Kingston in Motion. The survey results showed that respondents appreciated the inclusivity and diverse representation and the depiction of real-life elements and connection to the community. The mural is expected to go up fall 2025, but if you'd like to take a look at the proposal, you can visit the City of Kingston's website and view the Robert Bruce Memorial Parking Garage public art page. If you'd like to hear more about local arts and culture events, check out the Kingston Curator on CFRC 101.9 FM on Fridays at 3 with me, Ellie Sturton. And that's all the art news for now.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, August 18th, daytime high of 22 degrees and a pretty pleasant sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Low humidity and a medium UV index of 7, perfect late summer day. Tuesday, August 19th, occasional morning rain and drizzle. Otherwise, it's going to be sunny in the afternoon, daytime high of 23, feeling closer to 24. Wednesday, August 20th, breezy in the morning and cloudy throughout the day, daytime high of 21, feeling closer to 20. Thursday, August 21st, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston. Breezy in the morning, a little bit of cloud, but mostly brilliant sunshine. High of 25, that actually feels like 25. Friday, August 22nd, daytime high of 24 with lots of sun in the forecast. Saturday, August 23rd, it's looking like it's going to be a perfect day for the Queen's football home opener against the Western Mustangs. Daytime high of 26, feeling closer to 27. A slight possibility of rain later in the afternoon, but it should be a beautiful summer Saturday. Sunday, August 24th, mostly cloudy with the possibility of a thunderstorm here in the Kingston region. Daytime high of 24, feeling closer to 25. And to kick off next week, Monday, August 25th, daytime high of 22, 70% chance of rain. Otherwise, sunny throughout the day. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians to allow for the temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel on Sunday, August 24th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Here are this week's relevant road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Rosanna to Holden is closed until August 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for roundabout upgrades. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Middle Road, Joyceville to Highway 2 is closed until August 22nd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to complete culvert relining. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. and Woodburn Road, Hitchcock to Whitechurch is closed for a contractor to complete culvert relining. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Catwoods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Front Road, San Beta Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Work includes curb, sidewalk, asphalt milling, and repaving. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper. Expect delays while a contractor completes construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. And Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes the site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Now coming up, we'll have a look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Wednesday, it's Games in the Square from 6 to 8 p.m. Drop by Springer Market Square to play Giant Snakes and Ladders, Connect Four, Chess, Cornhole, and more. Or bring your own favorite game. It's free and family-friendly. On Thursday, Stories in the Square begins at 10:30 a.m. in the City Hall Amphitheater with stories, songs, and fun from the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. If the weather turns bad, it moves indoors to the Central Branch. In the evening, Life Drawing at Art Noise runs from 6 to 8 p.m., giving artists of all skill levels a chance to practice with a live model for just $10. And Stories in the Square presents Inside Out 2 at dusk in Springer Market Square. Bring your own lawn chair and enjoy this free outdoor screening under the stars. On Friday, The Loaf and Ale hosts Music Trivia with Terry from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Test your musical knowledge, enjoy a drink, and spend a fun night out with friends. On Saturday, head to Springer Market Square from 11 a.m. to noon for a chef demo by Olivea. Watch a locally inspired dish come together and sample it afterwards for just $2. Then from 1 to 3 p.m., the Adult Hide and Seek fundraiser takes place starting at City Hall. Teams of five compete within set boundaries to raise funds for the Friends of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Registration details are available by emailing ygktrivia@gmail.com. And on Sunday, Yoga in the Park runs from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. It's a free outdoor session led by a local instructor, so bring your own mat and enjoy the waterfront vibes. Later, the Brock Street Street Party runs from noon to 4 p.m., closing the street from King to Wellington. There will be exclusive shopping, a wandering bar, free samples, games, live music, and more. It's free and open to all ages. Have a community event you would like shared on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hey folks, I'm Ellie Sturton, and coming up are your live music events happening around town this week. On Wednesday at Springer Market Square, Swingin' Summer continues from 7 to 8 p.m. with the Dixie Six in a free outdoor jazz concert. At the Broom Factory, fingerstyle guitar master Alexandra Misko performs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Tickets are $35 for early birds or $43 for general admission. On Thursday, the Brownman Electric Trio plays the Cove Inn from 6 to 9 p.m. with a high-energy mix of funk, hip-hop, soul, and jazz for a $10 cover. The Kingston Blues Society Tribute Weekend opens at the RCHA from 7 to 11 p.m. with four back-to-back acts and tickets just over $22. Tiernanogue also features blues from 8 to 11 p.m. with Timothy Campbell, Tony Vanney, and Kenny Paws, and Matt Smith for $10. And Daft Brewing hosts Queerioki from 8 to 11 p.m. for just $5, welcoming the LGBTQ+ community and allies. On Friday, Time Out Bar and Bistro has Scott and Kate playing from 3 to 5:30 p.m., then Wild Card at 6 p.m. The Furball Cruise sails from 6 to 8 p.m. with live music from our band aboard Rockport Boat Lines. Raising funds for the Gananoque District Humane Society, tickets are just $33. At 7 p.m., Kickin' It Country brings Chelsea Road to Springer Market Square with free line dancing starting at 6. The Blues Society continues at the RCHA with Big Mo and the Blues Mission, followed by Angelique Francis. Tickets are just over $33. And at Base 31, Rock the Country opens with I Mother Earth at 7:30 p.m., with tickets ranging from $65 to $268. Folks can finish the night at Tiernanog with the J Blues Trio and Jeff Dunn from 8 p.m. to midnight for just $10. On Saturday, Tiernanog hosts Sarah Sokol and Sonia Bergen from 10 a.m. to noon for a $10 admission. At Sydenham and Princess, see Panache A Play for a family-friendly set with puppets from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday sessions at Confederation Park run from noon to 6 p.m. with a free tribute to the Limestone City Blues Festival. Folks can see Night Sun perform at Leopard Frog Farm from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. with tickets for $30. Juniper Cafe hosts summer live music from 4 to 6 p.m. alongside artist Sydney Cox from Heartspire doing live sketching. The Kingston Blues Society Tribute Weekend wraps up at the RCHA with Blue Sill and the Sweet Home Band joined by Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Maurice John Vaughn from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets are just $39. And Rock the County closes with Big Wreck at 7:30 p.m. at Base 31. Tickets range from $65 to $268. And don't miss the Garvin Brothers performing free at Joel Stone Heritage Park at 7:30 p.m. On Sunday, live music Sundays at Finkelshore Park run from 2 to 5 p.m. with live sets from Mellow Lily, John McClurg, and Frank Ryan. Then at 3 p.m., catch Christopher Jackson, Wayne Riley, and John McClurg in a free show at Time Out Bar and Bistro. Finally, at Hotel Wolf Island from 3:30 to 6 p.m., Deborah Shermans and Jazzy perform evocative piano compositions and dreamy indie pop. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.